like, is your business viable now?
We're getting there. Still, the numbers aren't what the numbers should be. So, COVID, we've not had a great time starting it. It's almost like being having a new hospitality tourism business once the cellar door was finished in April 21. We set ourselves a target of Easter 21 to open the doors, which we achieved. But that, of course, was in COVID. Yeah. So we've been in the same boat as all the other hospitality tourism businesses through COVID. So that's not been easy. And, of course, we're still having to buy wine at cost price. So our margins aren't what they should be if it was our own product. So the numbers are still difficult to make the numbers do what they need to do. And there's still a lot of just holding on and waiting until we get to that point.
Yeah. Did you plant more vines?
We haven't as yet. There was a little bit of a wait and see. And because we were double density planted, we kind of felt there was just one vine missing in between one. We could cope with that. And we were told some vines might survive in the first season and fall over. It's basic high school biology that... So the root systems take energy up into the vine and produce the shoots and the fruit, and then photosynthesis from the sun takes the energy down and restores and puts energy into the root system. So the cambium layer, which is the outer layer of the stem, is where all the energy comes down through photosynthesis. So some vines, the cambium layer was badly damaged or somewhat damaged. So some vines shot because they had energy in the root system, but then they couldn't replenish themselves because of the cambium layer. And some vines have taken a few years to decide whether they're viable or not. So we kind of know where we're at now. We will do some replanting. And we're doing a process called layering, where you wrap down a neighbouring shoot of a vine under the ground and bring it up. So you have a new vine fed off the root system of the one next door for a few years. And then the viticulturists tell us that that vine will then throw its own roots in time. So that's a way we haven't, it's cost us labour, but not, we haven't had to purchase the new vine in that circumstance. Mm. There's still a lot of work to do in the vineyard. Mm. Yeah.
You can't really, can you fireproof vines?
Not really. And the other thing is, no one really insures people. We had our trellis, irrigation and wires insured. But no one, probably not even the big wine companies, insure the actual vineyard. The cost is just astronomical, and people just don't do it. So people's infrastructure was insured, but not the vines themselves. That's where the government grants have helped. The government grant system has been fantastic, but incredibly complex to navigate. And it's taken a lot of time and energy. And
you have to acquit every single dollar.
Yeah, you have to almost have an MBA to fill in. We've had assistance. People called Rural Business Support have been subcontracted to support people in our situation, and that's been free of charge. So they've helped us with things like that. Mm.
So give a little bit of a plug for your winery. Yeah, it's very beautiful. I've been there.
Thank you. So really, James is my husband's brainchild, along with the architect and the builder. So the aim is to have a carbon neutral build, which we think we've achieved. So we've used recycled products where we can. It overlooks a beautiful sweeping views in several directions. The landscape is looking beautiful again. I've got a Danish heritage on my father's side, so inside it's got a little bit of a Scandinavian feel. And it's just got this beautiful sense of calm, I think, that I don't know if that's a product of everything that has now happened there. Out of this fairly traumatic event, we seem to have this very calm, beautiful place now, which is...
It has a really nice feel to it, and it looks like it belongs. It looks like it snug and fits.
It's designed to look like a modern interpretation of an Australian rural shed.
Yeah,
So... Yeah, it does look like it fits in the landscape.
Mm. Yeah, which is beautiful. So it's an incredible story, but like I said, plug it. What do you do there now?
We're open for business Fridays through Sundays. A regular cellar door trade, so we do tastings. We do lunches there as well. We have functions. We had our first wedding 3 weeks ago. We had a big wedding, which was really exciting for us. Yeah, weddings are full of joy, I think.
Yes.
And I think we were nearly in tears watching it all happen, to see something joyful like that happen. Yeah. And it just went incredibly smoothly. It was a beautiful day. And just to see everyone there enjoying the space and it doing what it was meant to do. Big milestone.
Yes, yes. That's lovely. Put in a bit of a plug for Belinda as well with...
Belinda Broughton is a local visual artist and poet. And... Belinda and her husband Irvin lost their home of 40 years. They're probably about 5 kilometres away from where we are. They lost all their artworks. She lost all her journals, lost everything. Their place was literally razed. Really difficult. Belinda has worked her way incredibly and bravely worked her way through it all. They've rebuilt a beautiful, also sustainable house on their property. And she's put together a collection of poetry that she has written as through her recovery, their recovery. I just felt the need to... I wanted to be part of Sala last year and wanted to somehow show community, collaboration, hope, recovery. And so approached Belinda for a collaboration to see if she would like to exhibit and put some of her poetry on the walls and pair it with visual imagery. So that's what we did. I don't think it was an easy process for her, but the result was, I know you were there, Sue, the result was just...
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Mm. Echidnas don't live here anymore.
Yes. Yeah. And the poetry book, I believe it's now a seminal piece of Australian literary work, which really tells the story. It's a very personal story, but also it's a story shared by a lot of people about what the impact of Black Summer was.
And what's happening, as you mentioned before, with the floods, everything in the eastern states, it's incredibly traumatising, and it must have an impact on you as well, the understanding what it's like to lose.
Yes, as I watch it all, I just, such a difficult place for people to be in, and... While there's immediate help, it's not something that recovery doesn't come quickly. No. And something I've learned is recovery isn't linear either.
Yeah.
It's not just always going upwards. There are setbacks, certain things happen, certain roadblocks, and suddenly you fall back down again. Husband and wife aren't always in the same place at the same time. Resilience is something that I find interesting. It's something that's talked about a lot, and it's obviously a very important trait, but it's not, as I've come to understand, it's not something that's easily achieved. And it's different for different people. Different people are able to be resilient at different rates, but after something like that, and obviously other traumatic events in people's lives, I know I work with people who've had serious injuries. It's not about bouncing. You don't bounce back.
No.
That's kind of, that almost feels as though it belittles what's happened. There's a period where you can't bounce back, and that's where you need kindness, you need support. And that can go on for quite a long time. And there's still times now that we kind of stumble over something, drop back a little bit, and then start to get back on our feet again. Yeah. I read Jane Goodall's book, Hope, last January, and it just really resonated with me. Yeah. She says that hope isn't just a kind of abstract thing, that it takes action and agency. And one thing she said is someone like Nelson Mandela, when he was in prison, there wasn't really anything he could do himself to get himself out of that situation. When you're in that situation, you rely on others to give you hope. You can't... The action and agency isn't something you can do yourself. You're reliant on others. And I thought, well, really, that was what happened in our situation. It was action and agency by others initially that kind of we flowed along with until we were in a situation to action things and have agency ourselves, which we're still trying to do, I think. Yeah.
And it's wonderful the support that you got. It really, you don't need, I mean, you need government grants and things like that, but you need community, and that's what you
Yes, got. Government can't be every, like the CFS couldn't be everywhere, government can't be everywhere.
Yeah.
Community is so important, and it's what holds us all together.
Yeah.
And Lopethal is a much more connected community now. I had known Belinda before, but now we're much more connected through this. We know each other deeper as a community. We know each other deeper, and we're a stronger community.
Yeah.
Much stronger community because of it, yeah.
And there was a film made too.
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little about that?
So the film was called Out of the Black, which I think is a phrase I had used. We had a filmmaker who came quite early post-fire. People were trying to do things, as I said, within their skill set, and filmmaking was his skill set. So he had taken some film footage to help with something, I think possibly a Glam Adelaide promotion. But he made contact again this July and said he was part of a young group who were wanting to submit a film to the SA Nature Film Festival film short film competition, and he'd been following our story and he was wondering whether we were interested in completing the story. He'd seen where we got to and thought he could make a good story out of what had happened, with some themes of resilience, nature, the environment. Somewhat reluctantly, we agreed to do that, having said at the beginning of the year we didn't want to have anything to do with media. But I'm really pleased we are now. I also suggested a collaboration with Belinda because the Sala exhibition was about to happen. And they made contact with the CFS, someone from there, and actually Emma, who had helped us. So the
it's
four
a beautiful
of us
film.
Were interviewed, and they did do a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it covers, well, because it's over a period of time, isn't it? So it covers
yes
so many angles of what you must have gone through.
Yes, and interestingly, none of us, it was done in a very short time frame. None of us communicated with each other about what sort of answers we were going to give to questions.
It fitted so perfectly.
And we all had similar themes of community, nature's resilience, climate change, I guess. The importance of knowing that nature is the most important thing, that we're kind of lesser importance in the whole hierarchy of things. Nature is the first thing that needs to be looked after.
Yeah.
Nature's quite, we think we're more important, but we're not.
Mm. Mm. Oh, that's beautiful. So thank you very much for sharing that. And is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Very grateful. A lot of gratitude for all the help and support we've had. I'll have that in my mind forever. So thank you to everyone who, for all the things you've done. I'm incredibly grateful.
Yeah, that's lovely. Thank you.